I'd like to be up there, but I'm the only person that probably needs a step to stand on. It's like when you drive and you can't see over the steering wheel, so that's why I'm down here. I know, stand on a pillow. All right, hang on. Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you that you are with us. We welcome you, Facebook, today to Trinity Assembly of God Church, where we are here to welcome everyone to come to this facility. We thank you, Lord, that in December of 1985, we began, actually began a little sooner in our home, but we thank God that we're still with you, kicking. So, as we always talk about, why are we here, right? Do I have all my stuff? Yeah. We thank Cheryl for the beautiful flowers. Aren't these beautiful? So, kind of beautiful, remind us of Tom. Memories are great, right? All right. So, as we always talk about every Sunday, is why are we here? And Matthew 28:16 through 20, the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, you all, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, why do I read that every Sunday? Why do I say that? Because I want to continue to infuse in you all that God has a plan in your life. And we all know that, but it's okay to be reminded. God has a plan. We were all created by God in the hope that one day we would search for him and find him, like we all did, but there are many, many people out there that are still searching. And you all are not, I know you're not recluses, so I know you all are out and about. You know, you get on elevators and find people in the parking lot. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing when you all think about, you all have a gift in you. Each of you have a gift. Barb says gift, I've got a gift, you all have a gift. It's the Spirit of God that lives in you, that leads you, that guides you, that prompts you, that convicts you when you're naughty or whatever, you know. And then he redeems you right away because he's a loving God. But I'm continually amazed, and I'm going to continue to encourage you all that let the Lord use you. When you go up to someone at the He leads you, it's amazing to me. It's amazing every time. One at work, I said to this girl, I was walking down the hallway, and I'm kind of eyeing people up, you know, and wondering if this is the one, you know. And I said to this girl, I said, "How can I pray for you?" I don't say, "Can I pray?" I don't say that. How can I pray for you? It's very positive, it's your approach. That's God. And she looked at me and she said, "Well, just pray." And it kind of threw me back a minute, and I went, "But how can I pray for you?" "Just pray." And so I did. And it was another approach. It's another response back to us. You never know what someone's going to say. But the fact that you're willing, do you know that when you do that, you are stepping out in faith? You are literally stepping over the line in faith because you're saying to the Lord, I'm trusting you right now that you're going to work through me. Right? It's amazing. I encourage you all to do it. Just try it. You will be amazed. But that's not why I'm here today. But I am going to encourage you all because it's amazing to me. You're giving them a gift. You are stepping out of yourself and you're giving them a gift. So, but that's not why we're here. Y'all know what a paradox is? I pulled this up this morning. A paradox is a statement that seems to contradict itself, but may nonetheless be true. It's a paradox is a person, a thing, a situation that exhibits inexplicable or contradictory aspects. A statement that is self-contradictory or logically untenable, though based on a valid deduction from acceptable premises. I know that's a lot. So the reason I say that is that since we are all created, we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, right? And we accepted him and he lives in us and, you know, we're here to share Jesus Christ with other people. Which leads me to the topic today. Prejudiced. Favorite, right? So we're going to, the Lord has instructed me to share this with you today. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. This is just informational. When I come up, I'm just here to share information, the Word of God, with you all, so you're encouraged like I'm encouraged. So, I'm going to bear with me here. I've got a few scriptures, and prejudiced. It's a preferential bias. And I'm sure everyone's out here thinking, well, I'm not prejudiced. I always forgive, but I'm not prejudiced. Well, it's fine if it's not for you, but think about it if you're on the other end. It's a preferential bias, a negative opinion not based on fact or experience, formed without just ground or sufficient knowledge. It targets groups or types of people rather than responding to people as individuals. It's usually expressed as an unreasonable and hostile feeling, opinion, attitude towards a lot of different things. It can be from disabilities, ethnicity, you name it. People that have no legs, you know, just it's an array of things. We can all identify, we can all throw up something that's not throw up, but you know, it's something that we can all identify with. Social, from other countries. It has no limits. If prejudice does not manifest itself in outright discrimination, it is often revealed in exclusiveness or lack of social compassion. So think about it. Prejudiced people. And it, again, there's, when I say this, it's merely for all of us to continue to ask the Lord to give us a wake-up call. Anything that I'm sharing is for us as believers to not feel bad, but just to have the Spirit of God that's within us reflect back through us to bring an awareness. Because sometimes we're not aware. Sometimes we're in denial. And we don't want to. We're all good people in here. But I don't think wake-up calls are wrong. I think it's, I mean, other, you know, just it's okay. Prejudiced people do not favor providing help to out-groups, especially when such help is likely to incur personal sacrifice. If they don't actively dislike these other groups, then there may be, suspicious. You know, have you ever seen someone on the street corner and you go, in your brain, why don't you get a job? Did you ever say that? Why don't you get a job? You don't say that because that's rude, but you may think it because that's the surface part of you. That's your flesh. You know? Well, you don't know why they don't get a job. I listened to someone on the radio the other day that had gone downtown with this girl that's reaching out to these homeless and has made friends with them. And when she speaks with them about jobs, housing, it's not what it seems. It's tough. You know, so often people are homeless because, well, maybe there was a divorce and their wife or whatever got it all. And all of a sudden they couldn't make two mortgage payments and they're gone, they're kicked out. Where do you go? Well, if you don't have a family, then where do you go? So there's just so many different variations of why someone's homeless. Anyway, I'm just sad that. If they don't actively dislike these groups, then they're suspicious. They're likely to consider the misfortunes of those in the out-groups suffer as maybe self-inflicted, right? Now, so you're thinking, well, why did you read that about paradox? Okay, so here we are believers, right? And we really, being prejudiced is pretty ugly. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be hurtful, do we? We don't want to be hurtful people. But you think about it. Okay, so in the beginning, gosh, in the very, very beginning, it's been around forever. It's the very, very beginning. For centuries, the Jews and the Israelite brethren were God's chosen people. So the Jews were the beginning, right? Deuteronomy 7:6, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you, the Jewish people. Now he's telling them this, you know, you are it for his own possession out of all the peoples that are on the face of the earth. The Gentiles, the rest of the world, never had that relationship with God. Now, this is the very beginning, of course. And that made the Jews different from everyone else. So right then, it starts. Right then, it starts. Now, in Deuteronomy 4:8, though, God incorporated moral and ethical standards that were unheard of in that barbaric day. God's saying, hey, I'm not down with this. He also decreed that his people would be different from the violent and godless nations around them. Leviticus 20:26 said, you are to be holy to me because I am the Lord am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. Part of that difference would be in the way they were to treat others. They were to treat others like themselves, not treat them badly. In 1 Samuel 16:7, the prophet Samuel learned that the Lord does not see as man sees. Thank goodness. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. In Galatians 3:26-28, for you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you are baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Acts 10:17. Before the Jews, let's see, I lost my place. Now, in Acts 10:17, Peter, the Jewish apostle God sent to baptize the first Gentile convert, said, God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Acts 10:34, I perceive that God shows no partiality. God gave Peter a vision to teach him that God is not prejudiced and will not tolerate prejudice in his people. Peter said, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. So prejudice has, as we said, existed from the beginning. If you look at Genesis 1:27, it says, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So right off the bat, you know, it says God was created people in his own image, male or female. In Genesis 2:8, it states, now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. But then he comes along in verse 22, and he says, then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. So he's incorporating men and women right there. So while I know you all are thinking, what are you doing? Well, I'm just trying to point out that in the Bible, God hates prejudice. He does not, he's not down with it. This is just maybe a little wake-up call for all of us. Trinity wants everyone to come. See, we are all sinners, okay? The difference between us and people that haven't accepted Jesus Christ or is that we know when we mess up and we repent. Before I was a believer, I was awful. I was awful. And when I messed up, I didn't even know I was messing up. I just thought that's the way it was. And that's just so amazing to me that I could have been so bad and not cared and had no knowing because I had no Spirit of God in me to convict me of my sin. So think about this. If we don't get people to come to hear the Word of God in this building on Friday nights, on Tuesdays, on Sunday mornings, how will they know? How will they know? We're not here to judge. I'm not going to judge people that come. We want them to come. Judge. God said there's one but one righteous judge, and that's Him. We want people to come. We want to love people and then let the Spirit of God bring conviction. It's not our part to judge. It's not our place. A lot of Christians are. They're very judgmental. They think they've got it all figured out. Well, go look in the mirror, right? And I don't mean to be mean, but I'm just saying that Philippians 2, 3, and 4, it was Paul again who wrote, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each see others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others." Bigotry and prejudice cannot survive under the weight of the gospel. One day, all the people of the world will understand the truth. But until then, it's our job to show them the difference between a believer and a non-believer. And in closing, I'm going to tell you the seven things that God hates. Now, He hates a lot of things. But I was just sitting there and He said, share with them the things that I hate. And again, this is just a very short list, so bear with me. He really is not happy with it when we're haughty. Y'all know what that means? When you're haughty, haughty eyes, and you look down at people when you think they're better than others, you're better than they are. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like a lying tongue. He really doesn't like a false witness who pours out lies. That's the ninth of the 10th commandment. You know, you accuse somebody. It's one thing lying. That's one thing. But another thing is accusing someone falsely. You know. Yeah, if you're a murderer, he doesn't like that. Say the heart in your heart, you devise wicked schemes. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like sin. There's a lot. He really is just not happy about evil. If you're really quick to rush to evil, he doesn't like that. A gossiper, you know, a gossiper is someone that stirs up dissension among the brethren. So I think that we have to be really careful as Christians when we're in a group and someone's not there. I'm just saying this. If the person that's not there has asked you to pray in the group for them, that's fine. But if they haven't asked you to pray for them in the group, I consider that gossip. Again, we need to be respectful of other people. I don't know if y'all understand that. But I've been in groups, circles, where the person that prayed for another person had a good heart. But maybe the person they're praying for really doesn't want you bringing their laundry out, if you know what I mean. So I think that's just a sidebar. So I think we just have to be really mindful and respectful of people. So today, My message is to share with you all that when we get up during the day, in the morning, we need to really ask the Spirit of God that lives within us to lead us and guide us, how He wants us to be led and guided. Does that make sense to you all? And this is not a Debbie Downer message, but this is a message that we can all hopefully just remember and reflect on. And if we have been prejudiced, you know, then we need to repent to the Lord and ask Him to forgive us for that, and He will cleanse us of all of our sins and unrighteousness, right? So, Tim, as you come up, I pray for us now that that the Spirit of God that lives within us will convict us of our sin. That if we have prejudice against whatever, any group or whatever, that we just be real mindful that it's not a good thing. That God doesn't want us to do that. I wrote this down. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and we all probably know this, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. So I'm not any longer the Sherry Oliver, the bad girl, you know, willfully. Now I'm a believer, and I do make mistakes, but I also know when I do, because the Spirit of God convicts me of my sin. And so we need to be a shining light in this very, very dark world. We need to be on target. And so what an opportunity that we have. And I'm so blessed. Come on up, sweetie. Come on up. We're so blessed that you all still let us be here. Because we really, really do love you all, don't we? Don't we love them? Can you say, I love you?
Yeah.
Say, I love you.
Electrical.
So, I'm sorry it's very somber, but it's okay. Can we sing happy birthday to you? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Joel. Happy birthday to you.
Praise God. Glory to God. So right after service, we're going to have cake over there and visitation time, and maybe tell stories about Pastor Joel, how he helped us. So I'm going to take up the offering, and glory to God. I got to disobey you, Pastor. The Lord told me to go ahead and mention something. So we had a plumbing problem this week, plumbing problem. So praise God. And this is our church, so we get to take care of it. So Lisa put together the tithe, and I came into some money this week. I go, how much you want to give, 10% of that or half of it or what? She goes, well, what do you think? I go, let's give it all. All the money that I came into this week extra. So I put it all in here. Now, it may not be that much money compared to what somebody else can do, but it's all that I got extra this week, so it's going toward the plumbing. So I got a tithe check, and I got the envelope with the extra money. So that's how you do it. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this church being on this street corner in this city. Thank you, Lord, we have plumbing this morning. Thank you, Lord, it's not backed up all over the floor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that it's paid for.